Christmas, I asked if we could please have a Christmas Eve service. I expressed how much I needed a calm, quiet service to remind me of the peace that we should seek at Christmas. I went so far as to say I would come alone with my candle and just sit in the dark so I could have that quiet. I had no idea how different my Christmas Eve would turn out. Now, for those of you who know me really well, you can understand when I say I need quiet and peace, because I'm never quiet. I really need quiet and peace. So as my Christmas Eve unfolded and I realized I would not be spending it in a quiet, dark church with candles, I was angry. I was bitter. I was resentful. That things were not going the way I wanted them to go. And a really good friend, Jeannie, texted me and, you know, reminded me not to let Satan take control. And that really stuck with me. But before I continue, I need to let the rest of you in on a little secret. Growing up in the Catholic Church, I was accustomed to certain traditions and titles. My experience was that only a priest could bring a message, and it was always following the reading of the gospel. When I came to the Alliance Church, I learned that people from many different callings could come forward and bring a message. However, there was one word I just did not quite understand. That was testimony. See, my experience was that a testimony was when someone explained when and where they were when they gave their life to Christ. I didn't really have that moment, so I didn't feel qualified to ever give testimony. So over the last few years, I have found myself sharing how God is working in my life, and afterwards, someone would always come up and tell me that that was a great testimony, and I'm like, that is not a testimony. I did not at any time tell you how I came to Christ. So I finally consulted with the experts in my family, Cole and Dave, and much to their amusement, as I described the dilemma, they explained that I was only seeing one definition of testimony. Telling how God is working in your life is giving testimony. So now if you hear me make the comment, no, I wasn't giving testimony, I'm just telling you what God was doing in my life, that's where that came from. So having a better understanding of God's work is what brings me here today. So when I asked for this Christmas Eve service, the first question was, who will bring the message? Me! I'll give the message. Wait, what? I am not qualified to bring a message. All the way home, I thought, what did you just do? You have 4 days to come up with a topic and put it in document form and deliver it, and it has to include scripture. I started thinking about how unqualified I am for this task. Then I started to search what being qualified actually means. And as I wrestled with the idea of actually getting up here and bringing a message, I thought about other individuals who have questioned their qualifications. Most of us have been there. Dennis had talked once about an opportunity he had to sit with someone in the hospital. And he made it clear he did not want to go. He had to get up really early. I think Judy might have been ill, and he thought she should go, but she couldn't go because she was sick. And he just, like, you know what, I'm just not going to. But he did. And then he talked afterwards about how he was blessed by that opportunity. As I planned my Christmas message, because that's when I was going to give this message, I thought about how Mary may have felt when she was told that she would carry the child of God. Did she wonder if she was qualified? I think about how I would have reacted. Then again, God would have never asked me because Jesus would have been late. You'd still be waiting. So Mary set things aside to answer God's plan for her. Did Joseph question his qualifications? He was simply a carpenter. Was he qualified to raise the king of the world? Looking back further, I found other situations when God-fearing men questioned their qualifications. I'm particularly impressed with Moses and his response to God's calling. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses was tending to his father-in-law's flock. He was in the wilderness when an angel appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses was intrigued by this and went to get a closer look. At this moment, God called to Moses, and Moses answered. It does not seem as though Moses had any doubt that it was God calling him. God instructed him to not come any closer and to take off his sandals as he was standing on holy ground. God told Moses how he had seen the misery of his people in Egypt. God also told Moses that he was sending him to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And this is where I can relate to Moses. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Now, even though God assures Moses that he will be with him, Moses continued to question God. "O Lord, I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord reassured him again and told him he would be his mouth and teach him what he should speak. "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." But Moses did go. Of course, Pharaoh wasn't going to simply let the Israelites go. When Pharaoh saw the workers had been called away from their brick making, there was great suffering among them. "Why did you ever send me?" Moses asked. Now, even though God assures Moses again that he will be with him, Moses continued to question him. "I will not be so bold as to compare myself to Moses. I'm pretty sure in 2,000 years there will be no talk of who was more qualified to do God's work, Moses or Tracy. But I can definitely understand where Moses may have been coming from. He was doing okay in the wilderness. I have had plenty of times in my life when I was doing okay. When my mom was battling cancer, it was unanimous that I was the most qualified caregiver. After all, that was my full-time job. As a daughter, I felt so underqualified to ease her suffering. I felt God hadn't prepared me enough to fill that role. Throughout her fight, and even after, I saw that God was qualifying me as we went. When Dave had his stroke, he told me all he could think about was how, in all my caregiving situations, it was like God was preparing me for this. I think, in a way, Dave was telling me how he felt I was qualified to advocate for him. He had more confidence in me at the time than I did. God wants us as we are. He met me where I was time and time again. In all my I can't moments, there was Jesus. Now, going back to qualifications, I have had times in my life when I knew I was qualified. I had a certificate to show it. There were earlier times I really questioned God's timing. At 25, I was widowed and raising Cole as a single parent. For years, I insisted I was not qualified to do this. While I struggled with filling the role of mother and father, I did not want Cole to be an only child. I started the process to become a foster parent. And when I first got the call to foster Kenzie, the first thing I said was, "Well, I'm not qualified yet." God was working within the system, although I was far from giving him credit for it. Years later, I feared I wasn't qualified to pray with Carter when he wanted to become a Christian. I even tried to convince him to wait until Sunday and come to church when someone more qualified than me could pray with him. I'm so glad Carter was so persistent that we pray in that moment. These moments had immediate positive results, but we know God doesn't always work that way. When Cole died, I was absolutely certain I could not endure the pain I felt. I wouldn't say anyone is qualified to lose a child, but I was confident I wouldn't survive it. "I can't" were probably the words I heard in my mind the most. Yet God did qualify me in my grief. He used my pain to share his word, his plan, his glory, his reward. In the hours and days and months ahead, God continued to qualify me. I was recently asked if I would be interested in taking on a new caregiving position. This is an area I know God has blessed me in. I enjoy this role, and without being boastful, I'm good at it. I love my work. But in my mind, I question my qualifications. I don't have certificates with fancy letters. I almost talked myself into saying no. Yet God uses me in so many ways. When we question our qualifications, we should remember what the Bible tells us. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, it isn't that we ourselves are qualified to claim that anything came from us. No, our qualification is from God. In whatever God has planned for me, God has qualified me. I may not see the qualifications until long after my work is done. I may question if I was the right person for the job, but I can say with absolute certainty, God lays out my work for me, and with his grace and mercy, I can accept these challenges. I do not have to worry if I'm qualified to be a Christian. By his birth and through his death, I have been saved. I have accepted this gift of salvation and found a love that exceeds everything else. In what ways is God using you? What is his will for us? Rejoice in his promises.